Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you're not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind in earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Oh, the words that we hear today. What stands out to you when you hear this gospel message? I was thinking how easy it is just to preach the law of this message, to tell you the procedure that you should use if one of you has a disagreement with the other. But what stands out to me are those final words. "For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." That's why the chair is there. Do we truly believe that Jesus is present among us when we say that two or more are gathered? We believe this. I'm seeing a couple of heads nod. The rest of you are staring at me like, why are you asking me this question? Do we believe it? Do we believe that Jesus is present among us? All right. Do we believe that when we go to God in prayer, before we have an encounter with that person who's offended us, that Jesus is present among us? Do we think about that? Do we go in prayer to God first and then go to that brother or sister who has offended us, acknowledging that Jesus is there listening in on our conversation? If you believe that Jesus is listening in on the conversation that you're having with someone who has offended you, what does that do to the language that you use to that brother or sister who has offended you? How does it impact the attitude that you have toward that other person? When someone offends you, do you go to that other person after praying first? Do you go to that other person and explain how that person has offended you? Or do you go to your best friend and tell that person how this other individual has offended you? Do you put a snarky comment on Facebook about, "Can you believe what this person did to me?" Do you go to that individual and explain how you feel offended? Sometimes it's hard to confront someone that we think has done us wrong. It's easy to just hold it inside of ourselves and let it smolder. And I know I can be one of those people at times. My husband will tell you that I just let little things pile on top of each other until I explode, and he doesn't know why. It's because I didn't tell him about the little things before they became big things. And if we don't go to someone who's offended us in private and talk to that individual, that person may never realize that he or she has done anything to us. If we talk it out, we may find that the whole thing is just a big misunderstanding, and we walk away reconciled. And I think if we acknowledge that Jesus is there in that conversation, that it can change our conversation so that we never have to take anyone with us, that we never have to bring it to the whole church, that we never have to treat someone as if that person is not a brother or sister in Christ. Because it says at the very end that if you can't resolve this dispute, if this sin against you is not acknowledged by this other person, that you're then to treat this individual like a tax collector or a Gentile, which initially makes it sound as though this person is then just completely thrown out and you never speak to them again. But how does Jesus treat Gentiles and tax collectors? Who is a person who is attributed with the writing of this gospel? Matthew, who was a tax collector. So it's a way of acknowledging that even when this person has offended us, that we still have to treat this person with dignity and respect. So that's what stands out to me, is acknowledging Jesus' presence in the midst of conflict. And we don't want to acknowledge that sometimes conflict comes to the church. We don't want to deal with it. But Jesus has specifically told us that we need to deal with it. We need to acknowledge when it exists, because it will happen. I've seen conflict about things as silly as what color the new carpeting should be. And I've actually seen people leave a church because they didn't get the color carpeting that they wanted. We can be offended by the silliest little things. And Jesus is asking that we go to a person who has sinned against us and bring him along and try to work it out between you. I was given a poem the other day, and I went online and found so many different variations of it that I'm not sure which one the author actually wrote and what has been added to and moved around over time. But here's one version of it, and I want you to listen to it carefully. It's called If Jesus Came to Your House by Lois Blanchard Eads. If Jesus came to your house to spend some time with you, if he came unexpectedly, I wonder what you'd do. I know you'd give your nicest room to such an honored guest, and all the food you'd serve him would be the very best. And you would keep assuring him you're glad to have him there, that serving him in your own home is joy beyond compare. But when you saw him coming, would you meet him at the door with arms outstretched in welcome to your heavenly visitor? Or would you have to change your clothes before you let him in, or hide some magazines and put the Bible where they'd been? Would you keep right on saying the things you always say? Would life for you continue as it does from day to day? Would you sing the songs you always sing and read the books you read and let him know the things on which your mind and spirit feed? Would you take Jesus with you everywhere you plan to go? Or would you maybe change your plans for just a day or so? Would you be glad to have him meet your very closest friends? Or would you hope they'd stay away until his visit ends? Would you be glad to have him stay forever on and on? Or would you sigh with great relief when he at last was gone? It might be interesting to know the things that you would do if Jesus came in person to spend some time with you. And Jesus comes to this house to spend some time with us, to teach us how we are to live with one another, to give us instructions that will make our lives sometimes more difficult, such as going to those who offend us. But he does indeed come to this house. He is indeed present among us. Now I was looking in this little book. It's called the Lutheran Handbook. I don't know if any of you have seen it. It's a bit tongue-in-cheek at times. It tells you some really interesting things, like what to bring to a church potluck by region, how to survive for 1 hour in an air-conditioned church. But it does have the occasional article that really is good. And one of them is How to Resolve Interpersonal Conflict, page 118. It says, disagreements are part of life. They often occur when we forget that not everyone sees things the same way. Conflict should be viewed as an opportunity to grow, not a contest for domination. Lutherans are traditionally shy, but when push comes to shove, they value healthy relationships above all. And it gives some steps. Adopt a healthy attitude. Your frame of mind is critical. Approach the situation with forethought and calm. Prayer can be invaluable at this stage. Do not approach the other person when you are angry or upset. Read Matthew 18, verses 15 to 20 beforehand. Consult the Bible to orient your thinking. This is a model Jesus provided and can be used to call to mind an appropriate method. Talk directly to the person involved. Avoid triangulation. Talking about someone to a third party can make the conflict worse, as a person may feel that he or she is the subject of gossip. Speaking with the other person directly eliminates the danger and boosts the odds of a good outcome. Express yourself without attacking. Using I statements can avoid casting the other person as the bad guy and inflaming the conflict. I statements are sentences beginning with phrases such as I feel or I'm uncomfortable with. Keep speaking the truth in love. That's Ephesians 4, verse 15. Your truth may not be the other party's. Your objective is to discover and honor each other's truth, not to put down the other person. Be ready to admit your own faults and mistakes. Seek out a third party to act as an impartial witness. If direct conversation doesn't resolve the conflict, locate someone both parties trust to sit in. This can help clarify your positions and bring understanding. And build toward forgiveness and a renewed friendship. Agree upon how you will communicate to prevent future misunderstandings. And it says, be aware that seemingly unrelated events in your or the other person's life may be playing an invisible role in the conflict at hand. Be ready to shift the focus to the real cause. And you may not be able to resolve the conflict at this time, but don't give up on future opportunities. I think that's pretty valuable advice. So bring Jesus into the midst of conflict. He's used to it. Remember how he walked into storms. He's used to the storms of our personal lives. He's used to storms within our church lives as well. So bring him into your conflicts. Acknowledge that he's there with you. He's always there when you call upon him. He's here right now. Oh, Lord Jesus, so often we forget to bring you with us. So often we don't want you with us because your being there impacts how we think. It impacts how we act. It impacts the words that we say. Lord, help us to remember that you know all about storms, the storms within, the storms outside. Help us to remember to go to you first, to begin with prayer, to invite you into our conflicts with others, to acknowledge your presence, to be careful with the words that we use and the attitudes that we have. And help us, Lord, as we work toward reconciliation with any who have caused us pain. And we ask all things in your precious name. Amen.